Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the man with the gills and the wet feet, the man who spent $200 million just to give you a night out at the Flicks, Kevin Costner, swings by to spend an hour with a couple of bullheads. But before Kev gets here, we're going to be soliciting your help to unravel Michael Jackson's latest clip as seen on the telly last night. We'll be spearheading the protest flotilla to Mururoa Atoll, unveiling Noel Crichton Brown's latest attempt to charm the ladies. And because all this week it's the 18th anniversary of Elvis Presley's alleged death, we've got sightings of the King of Plenty. It's all coming up on the program that's made Dances with Wolves himself towel off and call for a cab, Martin Malloy. Yes. Welcome to Martin Malloy for a Wednesday, people. We're pretty excited in here. My name's Tony Martin, and this bloke here, well, it's Mick Malloy, a man who, when criticised about his $200 million bar tab, said, well, somebody's bar tab had to be the most expensive. I'm not proud of the figures, but there it is.
Come along and watch me drink. See for yourself.
That's right. You don't drink for the critics, Mick.
No.
You drink for the people.
For the people.
Good on you.
The one that count.
Now, as we're alluding to, the man in the gills, Kevin Costner is going to be... I hope he's coming in.
Because, he's on the way now.
Because we've been promoting it, so hopefully he's got a cab. But in the meantime, the program must go on. And just looking in the papers today, Mick, the protest flotilla to Mururoa Atoll is, I think it's leaving in dribs and drabs. You know what it lacks, Mick? It lacks leadership.
You're telling me. I mean, I thoroughly agree, and I think something has to be done.
People just getting into boats, dinghies, whatever they can get, and they're just bundling off to Mururoa without, you know, I don't know if they've got maps or anything. I think it's up to us to really take command.
I think you're right.
And we have to get ourselves a boat, so chuck us the phone over.
Okie dokie.
I've got the yellow pages, the boat hire department. And I reckon these people here in Victoria, Dramana Boat Hire.
Give them a go.
They're a sort of little family company. I think they're
that's
the go.
That's what we're looking for.
So let's give them a call.
We're off to Mururoa.
Just amuse yourselves while I dial people. And here we go.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Katie Donnelly.
Hello, Katie. This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program.
Oh, really?
Now, you boat hire people, are you?
That's right.
Right, we're looking to hire a boat. What's your rate?
Well, depending on what you want to do. If you want to do fishing or cruising, they're different rates.
I know. We were just thinking of going on a three-hour cruise. You're with us, Katie?
Is Freddicum?
Actually, it might take a little longer than that because we want to go to Mururoa Atoll.
Oh.
You've heard about this, of course. Well, there's a big flotilla of boats going.
Oh,
me and
really?
Tony...
Well, I'll stay away from there.
You'll stay away from there. Yeah, well, we weren't going to ask you to come with us. We just want the boat.
Oh, no can do.
No can do? Why not?
Well, we're just our like day on boat hire.
Right.
And you've got to bring them back before the night time.
Well, what, in the same day?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, we'll have to go like the clappers, won't we? I mean, what are you going to give us, one of those paddle boats? We'll have a stitch before we get out of the harbour.
Listen, who is this?
Tony Martin and Mick Malloy.
Well, I've just come back from a hard day of tennis and I didn't have the radio on. So.
Sorry. I mean, if we were looking for tennis rackets, I suppose you could probably help us. Tell me how many boats you got.
Well, we've got two half cabins. They're cabin cruisers and five aluminium fishing tinnies.
Right, are these the sort of things that would stand up to a bit of tear gas?
Bit of tear gas?
Yeah, a bit of sort of French military action?
No, you're only allowed to go within a 3.5-kilometre radius of where our boat hire is.
So you've got an exclusion zone around your boat hire. Is this strictly enforced by the UN?
Oh, no.
What would happen if someone, like, drifted outside that 3.5K zone?
No can do.
Then you'd have to, you know, put the racket down, get in a dinghy, go out and board them. Is that right?
Oh, you're a dang.
Have you got any Barbie boats?
Any what?
Barbie boats.
What are they?
Oh, you know, it's kind of a boat with a big room where, like, 50 guys can just get pissed in while they float down the river. It's an Australian tradition.
No.
Yeah, we ended one in America's Cup this year.
All right.
Well, look, you've got to help us. We want to take one to Mururoa, so can you find a way to get round the 3.5K thing for us?
No, I can't. There's no flares on our boat. See, if you get stuck, you won't be able to get any help.
We don't need any flares. This has happened to me and Tony before. We were out boating and we were caught overnight. And basically, Tony stood on the bow and I lit his fart. And let's just say...
I can't believe this is you guys. You don't talk like this on radio.
I think you'll find we do. And next thing you know, craft were coming from everywhere. There was helicopters, a couple of UFOs.
Oh, you're lucky I've got a sense of humour.
A plane was flying overhead and thought it was flying over an oil rig.
Now, tell us, have you been to see this film Waterworld?
No.
The big Kevin Costner movie?
No, I haven't.
Because, you know, when the polar ice caps melt and the world's covered in water,
yeah.
It's going to be an absolute boon for business, this whole Waterworld scenario, don't you think? Well, we're speaking to Kevin Costner later in the program. Would you like us to see if he could, you know, front up a commercial for you?
Great. Dramana Boat Hire, Paul and Katie Donnelly.
Hi, I'm Kevin Costner. Come down to Dramana Boat Hire and I'll see you right when the polar ice caps melt.
I don't believe this is you guys.
Well, it is. And we can't believe we're not getting a boat out of you, Katie.
You can come and hire a boat out of me.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be hard to protest from Muroa from 2Ks offshore at Dramana, isn't it?
Oh,
not exactly going to hear us.
Who's the guy who's giggling in the background?
Ben the Bomb. We'll get the neighbours going, shut up.
Hang on, is that the door?
Yeah, that's the front door.
Well, there'll be someone else trying to hire a boat to go to Muro.
That's all my kids and my husband.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time today, Katie.
That's okay.
And we'll certainly pass your message on to Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
In fact, Katie, would you like to throw to the next song?
What do I say? This is Martin Malloy.
Yeah.
And here's some better music and more of it.
Thanks, Katie.
Okay.
She drives me crazy. That's Fine Young Cannibals here on Martin Malloy. And a big thank you to Katie at Dramana Boat Hire in Victoria for really, doing a favour to all Australians.
Indeed.
Now, something that happened on the telly last night was Michael Jackson's latest clip was premiered. The show, I didn't see it. Did you see it, Mickey?
No, I don't have time for watching television, Tony. I'm far too busy.
Working on the program?
Working on the program, honing, polishing, doing my best, thinking about it, you know.
Right.
It's a 24-hour job, you know that.
Oh, of course. Well, I didn't see it, and I think the name of the show was Michael Jackson Changes History. Although it just looks in the ads to me like Michael Jackson changes his story, which he's been doing for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the latest installment, is it?
Now, we didn't see it, so what are we going to do? I think we'll do what we always do. We want one of you people out there to call us up and explain the new Jacko clip. What's it all about? There's been a lot of talk. We want to clear it up once and for all. We want you to tell us about the special and particularly about the new Michael Jackson clip.
And any other gossip you may have picked up re-Michael Jackson.
Along the way, call now 1-800-657-657.
And any other gossip.
Tell me again about that fabulous three-pack of CDs.
Well, as I say, Tony and I demand only the best and we...
Hang on, what's that smell?
That'd be my new eau de cologne.
Wow, what is it?
Can't you tell? I'm wearing Crichton Brown.
Crichton Brown, the dangerous new fragrance for men that says, write this down, I want to have sex with you.
Mick, I don't know how to say this, but you smell kind of Crichton Brown.
Thanks.
Crichton Brown, the scent that just won't go away. When you want to screw somebody's tits off but can't find the words, let Crichton Brown do the talking.
Mick, I'm just sick of it. I don't know what to say, but... Wow, is that Crichton Brown?
Remember, when a strange woman comes up to you in the street and issues a restraining order, that's Crichton Brown.
S-A-F-M.
Here on Martin Malloy, we're sailing into the wind here, Mickey. Have you been able to find anybody out there right across the big brown land who can explain the Michael Jackson clip to us?
Over the age of 13? No, but we have found someone. We've got Alice on the line from somewhere up in deepest north of Queensland, I believe. Alice, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you going?
Oh, very well.
All right, now you've been motivated so much by your thoughts and beliefs on this special. You've stopped your car and phoned in.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, give it to us. What do you make of it all?
Well, I think he's a brilliant artist, and he's come up with some brilliant songs and music in the past, but I really think he's dropped down a little bit on his last song. And I really think that if he's going to go on television or do a video clip again, he should really try putting some clothes on because he hasn't got the most elusive body.
It wasn't doing it for you, Alice, was it?
I don't think so.
But so you don't lay awake at night, with a nutty Michael Jackson in the mind's eye.
Oh, I wish.
Now, tell me, it was introduced by Molly Meldrum?
Yes, it was.
Now, do you get the feeling that Michael's just putting out these clips so that Molly can have a TV series?
Yeah, I think Molly would like to think so.
Right, and so I understand that firstly, Molly threw to something he promoted. He said, get your videos ready, because this is the Michael Jackson Mega Mix. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That was just before the song. Yeah.
And what was that all about?
Oh, that was just like a compilation of all of his past records.
Do we need to? Do you think we need to see Thriller again? It's starting to, date a bit. It's starting to look a bit moth-eaten, isn't it? In the old 70s ones.
Yeah, it looks like one of those Hammer horror films from, the 50s or something.
Well, so do some of his more recent ones. But what about the clip itself, the new one? Was it raunchy? Was it blue?
No, I was really disappointed. I think that turned it on to watch it. But I was, as I said, his body just seemed to turn me off a little bit. But we didn't see enough of his...
genitals?
His wife, either, really.
Oh, his wife. Now, of course, you use the word wife advisedly. What exactly were they up to?
Well, they seemed to have bits of paper draped over the private parts, and they were wet, and they were climbing out of a bath.
And was it just sex on a stick? Did they look like a real 9.5-week style couple, or did it look rather like a scene from The X-Files?
Yeah, something like the latter, I think.
Now, do you have children yourself, Alice?
I do. In fact, they're sitting in the back wondering what the hell I'm doing.
Are they just... Now, how do you feel about your kiddies taking to the Michael Jackson gear? Do you think he's a good role model? Are you happy with all that?
Yeah, I think... I think his songs are fairly... they're okay for kids to listen to. I think he's got some great music, but as I said, his last clip, I think he may have gone downhill a little bit with it, but... if he's still around when my kids are old enough to listen to it, well, that's great.
Okay. We'll see about that. Now, I believe you've got one more call for us, Mick.
We do. We have a mystifying call. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Mary.
Mary?
Mary.
Kerry?
Yes.
Oh, I'd get it eventually. And Kerry, what were you ringing for?
Oh, well, I was ringing for the winner date with Kevin Costner.
Win a date with Kevin Costner.
Yes.
We aren't actually offering that service at the moment.
What a shame.
Would you like a date with Tony Martin?
Oh, isn't it?
Hey? Oh, look, in a room, have they ever been seen in the same room together? That's my question.
Do you look anything like Whitney Houston?
Oh, a bit different in colour.
Okay. We can't help you with that. Anything else we can do for you, though?
What about win a dinner with Kevin Costner?
I tell you what, you can win a photograph of Kevin Costner. We'll get that in the mail to you. Okay, thanks very much. Is it Kerry?
That's Kerry.
Okay, thanks very much, Kerry, and thank you very much, Alice, for being part of the tapestry of fun.
Yes.
That's Blondie. That's classic rock. That's Call Me here on Martin Malloy, your whale boy connection. As you know, we've been keeping you up to date on the court case involving whale boy, this bloke who scrambled onto the back of a southern right whale to pose for a photograph. Mm. I think this was about a year ago in Bermagui Harbour. And, of course, he's gone to court and I think he's been found guilty now yesterday of interfering. Oh, no, he's pleaded not guilty. Has he been found guilty? Yes, he's been found guilty of interfering with a whale, Mick.
We'll have to release a video and see what he can do about that. It's interesting, that Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
He'd do anything to promote a film, wouldn't he? There he is. It's hard to tell him apart because he's got the gills on too, but he's standing there. Yeah. That's the impression I get from watching this is you go, hang on, he's doing it and someone's photographing it. I'll bet you it was a TV Week photographer. He's just gone, yeah, it's not quite right. Oh, I know. Go and stand on that whale's back.
Of course.
That'll be good. Yeah. Could you just point at the tail and smile? Oh, hang on, wait, we need a prop. Has anyone got a giant toothbrush? No? Oh, a giant harpoon will do. All right. Now, how about getting the whale in a headlock? I mean, that's the kind of thing you would have ended up doing. But the interesting thing I thought was... With this, you can't plead the traditional
defences, can you? Because normally, you know, if you've done something cook, you say, oh, I was home, I was watching, you know, Taxi Driver, and it made me do it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I went out and collected all these guns and topped someone. And but, you know, it's not, in this case, it's not really a defence, is it? Unless, of course, you said, oh, I was home all afternoon watching Free Willy. I don't understand myself.
No, but speaking of Kevin Costner, is that a good cue for me to
That'd
plug?
That'd be great.
That he's coming in here.
He's coming in.
He's coming in to be on the show in the next hour.
He's riding a whale.
And what was the story with that woman we were speaking to just before who was convinced she'd won a date with Kevin Costner?
She...
Is that, did I intimate that we were offering
that? You
never
said that.
Am I not speaking clearly?
No.
Should I be going back to the Peach Smith School? There you go. Maybe I should be.
There's lessons there for all of us.
Indeed. Well, Kev's coming in, and also we're going to be looking for your real-life Elvis Presley sightings very soon on the program on Radio Gladiators.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Have you seen Elvis Presley lately? Because it's 18 years this week till he allegedly went belly up. And they're celebrating like nobody's business in America this week, Mick. It's just Elvis, Elvis, Elvis.
It's Elvis week.
It is.
Rumours abound.
Apparently, you have to dress as Elvis in public in the city of Memphis. If you're going outside and you're not wearing the jumpsuit and a bit of flares and...
You'll be locked up.
That's right. It's an on-the-spot fine.
It's mandatory. It's mandatory.
So, people are always talking about how they've seen Elvis down the 7-Eleven or at McDonald's, that kind of thing. That's what we're chasing. We want your best... real-life Elvis sighting, and people, you can make them up. They don't have to be true, but they have to sound kind of authentic.
Well, I've had an Elvis sighting.
Have you?
Well, you there's a rumour in the paper today that he's a vampire, that Elvis was a vampire. It's true, no, because he used to sleep all day and then get up to his mischief at night, and there's some theory that says he's a vampire. And I kind of lean towards it because, well, I don't want to say anything, but I saw a bat. And it was wearing a jumpsuit that had mutton chops. And I can't be sure, but to me, I reckon it could have been E. Could have been the king. Now, you know what I mean? On his way to a gig.
Is this the kind of story we want from the listeners?
No.
No. That's a bit. There's a bit of a long bow drawn there.
I've drawn a very long bow, but that was based on a true story.
Of course it was. We're looking for something that sounds authentic, that could be the king here in Australia. And, of course, you know about the prizes, the three-pack of CDs, and you go into the draw for the weekend for two at Le Meridian at the Rialto in Melbourne, no matter where you are in Australia. And, of course, did
Elvis
I
is staying there.
Elvis is there because he knows, like so many others, it's the soul of Memphis in the heart of Melbourne. If you'd like to play Radio Gladiators, call now 1-800-657-657. We're playing Radio Gladiators today because it's the 18th anniversary of the so-called death of Elvis Presley. We're looking for your real-life Elvis sightings. Have you seen the king? Do you know where he's hiding out? Who have we got, Mick?
Well, Duncan's seen him, haven't you, Duncan?
I have. I've actually heard a rumour that this year he's at the Brisbane exhibition.
Right.
At this stage, I've heard that he was going to be working as a car park attendant, but now he's actually working in a pink jumpsuit selling candy floss.
Really?
Yes, and toffee apples, mind you.
So the king's given away his life at Gracelands and his vast fortune and publishing rights.
That's right.
To bag a bit of a job working the candy floss because he just loves candy floss that much. Is that what you're suggesting?
I've heard that is a fetish of his.
And he loves pink too. Is it pink fairy floss we're talking?
Well, it could be the bags of multicoloured stuff, the white and the pink. They're unsure at the stage of what he will be selling, yeah.
And kind of like the husband his daughter's married to.
Okay, I think we might move along to... Who's next? Gary. Gary, you with us?
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
What's your theory, buddy?
Well, my theory is that Elvis has been hiding on Mururoa Atoll for the last few years.
Right.
Well, you know, the Americans put him there and to get him out of the way. Well, why else would they be making so much fuss about the French setting off a bomb in a tiny little island in the middle of nowhere?
My theory is Elvis Presley is Mururoa Atoll.
Maybe he's over there working on a new film. Well, it would be Paradise Mururoa style. With great hits like, what,
Clambake.
Starting off with a big bang.
Yeah, are you radioactive tonight?
Are you radioactive tonight?
You're nothing but a three-headed hound dog. I'm trying, people, I'm trying.
Well. I'm right behind you, Tone.
Okay, have we got Julie? Julie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where do you reckon Elvis is hiding out?
I've seen him down the road from my house.
Yeah.
There's this house, and it looks vacant, and he was wearing a floral nightie and gown and a matching shower cap.
Right.
Now, this house, did it have, like, front gates with sort of guitars on them?
No, they were really, really high gates.
You sure you didn't see Roseanne?
No, I didn't.
And right. And what was he doing?
No, he was just putting the rubbish out.
Oh, right. What was in the rubbish? Was there just a hint of flair, a few old jumpsuits in the bin?
I think there might have been. Mm. It looked a bit sus to me.
Gee, you sound pretty convinced of this story, Julie.
No, I really did.
Julie.
Yeah?
I think you're obliged to stay on that case. Are you in the neighbourhood watch? Because
no,
you make sure
I
to bring that up at the next meeting.
Okay.
Elvis Presley is living in the big house on the corner.
Okay, I think we've got time for one more. Who's it going to be, Mick?
We've got Alan on the line. G'day, Alan.
G'day, guys.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
Right, now, where have you seen Elvis?
Well, I saw him definitely about a year ago. We were on holiday down the south coast, mm-hmm. and he was in Bermagui.
Oh, yeah.
He was floating in the harbour with a guy standing on his back.
Oh, yes, I think we found our winner. Is that right, Alan?
Yeah, definitely him.
That's right. And, of course, that bloke's gone to court and been charged with interfering with Elvis Presley, hasn't he?
He was playing with his mutton chop.
Okay, well, for your efforts, you've won the three-pack of CDs. None by the King, I'm afraid.
Oh, disappointing.
But one of them's by Madonna, and you've gone into the draw for that weekend for two at Le Meridian.
Terrific.
Okay, thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. Gary and... not Alan. Gary. Alan. Sorry, Alan. And we'll be back. It's the second big hour, and it's time to welcome someone. This bloke, we all know him. He got a boot full of Oscars for his Dances with Wolves. He got an entire nation taking a long, hard look at itself with JFK. He got a whole lot of dead baseballers back to their fighting weight and Field of Dreams, and he got a mouthful from Madonna in Truth or Dare. Now what's he done? He's gone down the bank with a check for $200 million, said, cash this sucker, give me some flippers, and let's go for a real big swim. The result is here to tell us about it, Kevin Costner. And Kevin, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Good. The satellite's working. That's good to hear.
Uh-huh.
And we'd like to thank you very much for coming all the way from America just to talk to us. We really appreciate it. And it's a happy coincidence you've got a film coming out at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. I have been looking forward to talking to you guys.
That's what we heard. Now, just before we get started, obviously we know what you look like. I don't think I'm giving anything away to reveal that we're in different cities at the moment. We'd just like to paint a picture of us for you. Is that okay?
Well, I hate to hear that you're in dresses. Don't do that, because I have a really good image of you guys already, so don't bust it up.
No, that's only on Thursdays, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But do you know the Where's Wally books? I think they're called Where's Waldo books in America.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I hope I'm not killing your joke.
Oh, no, there's very little chance of that on this program. We do all that work ourselves. But I look like the guy from the Where's Waldo books, if that's any help. Probably not, Mick.
Kevin, if you could see me, it'd be like looking in a mirror. If you didn't do all your own stunts...
Well, you must be in trouble then, man.
Yeah. If you didn't do all your own stunts, I'd be your man.
That's it.
Okay, but let's get down to business. And Waterworld's still at number one in America. You must be pretty relieved.
Yeah, well, you know, you make the movie for the people to go to. The people who are going to write about it very rarely even pay money to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that you really count on are people that have gone in the past. And those are the people I try to take care of.
The writing about your film, it seems to be just a tissue of lies from what I can tell. What did you do to offend the press? What have you said to them?
Well, I guess some of them, you know, actually, if they were living my life, guess they would do it differently. Or, you know, maybe they wish they were me, and or maybe they think... I mean, a lot of the people that write before the movie comes out, they always... They think they're smarter than you. You know, they as they interview, you can see in their eyes that they feel like they're smarter than you, that they would be doing things differently. That...
Well, there's no danger of that on this program, Kevin.
Well, I can't see you guys, so I don't know what's in your eyes.
Now,
they're a little red, though, boys.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We've only just got up. Look, I think we're sick of hearing how much this damn film costs. Tell us what it's about. For the people out there who don't know about Waterworld, give us the rundown.
Well, the good news is no matter how much it costs, the ticket price hasn't changed. I mean, I think the people would have a beef or at least a legitimate question if they said that, hey, you're going to have to pay twice as much as you normally pay to go in the theater. But, you know, a $2 million movie costs no more than a movie that cost $170 million. So, you know, the crying must stop. You know, you know, the people have a great treat in store. But
it's value for money.
Yeah, you got it.
And, Kevin, when you're... Like, you've been to the premiere, obviously, and you're sitting there. When you watch this film, the finished product, can you personally watch it and enjoy it? Or do you just sit there going, oh, there's the shot that took 7 days. Oh, I was sick that day.
Yeah, no, I can enjoy it. I mean, I go to the movies myself, so I understand what I'm looking for. And this is one of the kind of movies that I wish I saw when I was a kid, because when you come out of the movie, God, you're swinging from the drapes, you're attacking your sister jumping off the couch, you know, and you got a rubber knife in your mouth. You know, it's those old Burt Lancaster movies, you know, where you're really, you know, it's really an adventure.
Now, you've worked with Burt, of course, haven't you, in Field of Dreams?
Yeah, we lost Burt this year, and in homage to him, there's one particular move in the movie. Did you guys get a chance to see it yet?
Yes, we did.
There's where I hang off the chair kind of horizontal. I did that for Bert. He was a really athletic, gymnastic kind of guy, and it was a little bit of a private thing for him.
Yeah, and also, of course, we lost Ginger Rogers this year, and I love the little tap number you slipped in at the end there.
Oh, the thing underwater? Or
Excellent.
Well, you rained on my sentimentality. Thanks, guys.
Oh, that's okay. Our apologies.
Yeah, I'll bet you're sorry.
Now, can you stick around for a while?
Sorry, guys, gotta go. No, I'll hold still if you've got something better to talk about.
We just got to play a bit of music, and we'll be back to talk more with Kevin Costner here on Martin Malloy. Now, Kevin, are you still with us?
Yeah, catchy tune.
Good on you.
Catchy tune.
And he was dancing, believe you me, people. Now, I know, obviously, with all the bad stuff that's been written about Waterworld, which we know is nonsense, and we've proved it here on the program time and time again. In fact, Kev, we've actually got a new trailer for Waterworld, which we'd like to play you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Have a listen to this.
Waterworld. It's way better than you may have been led to believe. All that stuff you read about trouble on the set, it's all bullshit. Everybody had a very pleasant time, except for one day when Dennis Hopper kicked a stagehand to death for mixing up his lunch order.
Now, we figure if you can get that on the radio...
God bless you, boys.
That's going to get people in the door.
Let me tell you, you're on the right track, and you know, you're not wrong. It's kind of fun when you're able to tell people, I got a feeling Australian people are very much like me, which is I don't like people telling me what to think, you know, and there's just too much of that shit. And for anybody driving into work or whatever, go see the movie, have a good time. That's what it's for.
Now, we mentioned Dennis Hopper there. What is he like to work with? Is he trouble? Does he bite heads off stagehands?
No, you know, Dennis has lived about 6 lives already. The guy was in Giant, you know, it was in Apocalypse Now, and now he's in this movie. He's the reason everything's so expensive. Now it just
we're
has
starting
dawned
to put
on
it together.
Me. But he's probably lost more brain cells than I have, so who knows?
When you're on set and say things aren't going to plan or the weather's bad, you know, a set looks like it could sink, a cyclone's on its way, how's Dennis taking all this? Is he reassuring Kevin, or is he curled up in the fetal position? Is he prophet of doom? What's he thinking?
I think Dennis is going, so what? So what? Things will turn, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about some of the stunts, because it really looked like you were doing a lot of that stuff, bungee jumping, swinging down on ropes. Is it really you, or is that a bit of morphing?
No, that's about 95% of that's me, and I think if anybody worth a salt had a chance to be in the movies, you know, it's not always about kissing the girl. A lot of times it's about getting the bad guy. And if you're not willing to swing and fly for it, then... not that they'll let you do it every time, then you kind of maybe should, you know, step out of the business, I think.
What do the stuntmen think when they see you climbing up a mast or something? What do the insurance people think? Is that sort of trouble, that kind of stuff?
Well, I think that's a two-pronged question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the stunt guys are going, good, Kev, go, go, go. They're not dumb like me. And the insurance people, they
they're going, come down, Kev.
Yeah, they're pretty they're pretty ineffectual guys. They're usually about 5'1" and got glasses and the briefcase, and they kind of fret a lot.
Something they'd never do themselves, so they don't want to see other people.
Yeah, they get that laptop computer out and start typing furiously. Well, he's doing this now.
Now, there's also been a bit of talk, which you've acknowledged yourself, about the influence of our very own Mad Max films on Waterworld. And, of course, you had Dean Semler working on the film. I think he might have shot a couple of those movies. Can you blame him for any of that?
Well, Dean, you know, I mean, like I say, it's a great movie, and there's, you know, great people. It's so funny, the kind of stuff you hear, but you realize that the people that were out there making this movie were some of the best people in the world. Mm. We know what we're doing. I don't make bad movies, and you know, I don't know what all the stuff's about.
Is Dean, what's he like to work with? We don't see much of him these days. He's over in Hollywood, of course.
I know he's got sunglasses on most of the day.
Has he gone Hollywood?
He's really even hard for me to talk to now. No, he's a good one. You know, he's one of the real good guys walking around on the planet, a helper, a worker, and a good friend.
Kev, I know you probably don't want to do this, but we want to go right back into your past. Is that all right?
Well, let's just see how far you tread, fella.
Okay, well, we get ready for another dance, because we're going to play another song.
Okay.
And we'll be back with more of Kevin Costner in just a moment.
We now return you to Abnormal Programming. Martin Malloy.
Where we've been joined by Kevin Costner, and Kev's really enjoying the music.
Honest to God, you know, that drum thing just really got me going like Inagata DeVita.
Now, Kev, get ready to step into the time capsule. We want to go right back into your early days.
Now, listen, I got a high-pitched whistle here that's designed to just put you in the hospital, so be careful.
Is that right?
Yeah, so step back.
Okay. Now, well, we're thinking more of people listening who might want to get into the acting caper. You know, they're just leaving school, they thinking, well, it can be either the welding apprenticeship or I can go the Kevin Costner option. How did you get started? What was your first gig?
Well, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do until I was like about 22. And then when I decided I wanted to act, I was wondering how smart that was. But I knew it was something that was inside me. And the first kind of gig I did was in out of acting class. And as it turns out, it was a bit of a tits and ass kind of a movie. And I worked about 2 days on it, and I thought to myself, my God, I you know, just because something's low budget doesn't mean it has to be bad. And I thought to myself, it was really interesting, because when you want to become an actor, sometimes all you do is get an 8x10 picture and you suddenly say you're an actor.
Right.
And and I found myself kind of in that same gig, and I was so excited to get this job. And then when I found out it was just kind of not really, you know, what I wanted to be known for, I kind of buried myself and went, studied for about 6 years. I kind of treated it like med school. Acting got real holy to me. And what I really wanted to do was be a part of the best movies of my generation at that point. So kind of out of that bad came good.
Now, you were also in, I think you had one line in Francis. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
And what was the line? Do you remember? Could you do it for
us? They had a hard time. Yeah. I kind of mumbled and stumbled through it. I said, good night, Francis.
Really?
Yeah, well, what a start to a career.
How many takes?
Just one. You know, in fact, they had a hard time getting me to say that line, because even then I guess I had notions about directing, because I said, and as much as I needed the line, I said, I don't think the actor would speak here.
And I drove, and you stormed off to
Graham
your trailer.
Clifford crazy, and he goes, just say the line.
I think that was another Australian director.
Yeah,
too.
It was, Graham. And I said, I don't think he'd speak here. And he goes, what do you know? You know, and I go, I'm not sure, but I don't think he'd talk. Finally, they got the line out of me, and it was a really important start for me, because that enabled me to have what they call a union card, which I had desperately wanted for 6 years, but for some reason, I wouldn't say that line.
Right, and I'm sure people listening are already going down to the video shop to rent Francis now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Kevin, was there any, along the way, was there any role that you've turned down that someone else has gone on to make quite famous?
No, not really. There's a couple movies that I didn't do because out of a kind of respect for my brother that went on to be great movies. Platoon was one, and I can't think of the others. I've been very lucky with the movies I've been in.
We've all heard the story about The Big Chill. Is that you in the opening titles?
Just my forehead, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, just my head. I was in a pub the other night, and this guy goes, "Sign my head!" I thought, well, Jesus Christ, okay.
Welcome
Here's
to movie,
Sign bro. My head!
Welcome to Australia, Kevin.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought, oh, my God. He put it up at stadium level. Sign my head, Kevin!
Well, that's what you've been working for.
You know it.
Okay, Kev, we've got to play a bit more dance music or possibly a commercial now, so you just get yourself comfortable.
Well, why don't you play some rock and roll for crying out loud?
Right.
We'll see if we can get a bit of maybe Metallica or something. We'll be back with more of Kevin Costner in just a moment on Martin Malloy.
Yes.
At 223 Grenfell Street, LVD 2063.
And conditions all the best
apply.
To Waterworld, and you've really stuck it to the critics, so good on you.
Thank you.
Time for us to go. And thanks to our guest, Kevin Costner, and, of course, Katie down at Dramana Boat Hire. Sorry, Katie, we couldn't get Kev to do your commercial, but I think Bruce Willis is in next. We'll see if he'll give it a crack. And also thanks to Alice from North Queensland, who tried in vain to explain the new Michael Jackson video to us, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by comedian and chef Matt King, who will hopefully be distributing nibbles as well as entertaining us. And remember, until tomorrow, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.